Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As we come to the last three verses of the first chapter of the book of Malachi, God is still dealing with this issue of respect, or maybe I should say lack of respect, which the people of God had toward Him. And that really is the problem that was underlying the first two charges. The first charge or complaint that God had against His people was that they failed to recognize and return His love. And their response to that demonstrates their lack of respect. We don't see it. What are you talking about? We don't see any evidence of your love toward us. That may not tie directly to the issue of respect, but it does indirectly. But the next one, it's even more clear. The second charge was that they were offering polluted sacrifices upon God's altar, bringing defective animals, lame and blind and so forth, and that certainly was a violation of Scripture, but it was also a matter of respect or lack of respect. They did not honor God. They did not respect God as they should. And again, the response to that was, well, what's the problem? We don't see it. Further underscoring their utter lack of respect toward God and their failure to recognize it. They had taken such a casual, cavalier attitude toward God that they didn't even recognize that they were failing to honor Him. And that, I'm convinced, is a real issue today. We are subject to the same weaknesses and frailties and sins and lack of respect that the people of God in Malachi's day had toward Almighty God. And we need to ask God to help us correct that, and we'll need His help for that. But we need to recognize our sin and ask God to correct it in our hearts. So to that end, we continue studying this portion on Monday, September 30. We're thankful that you have been able to join us today, and we are grateful for those whose donations, your financial gifts, make it possible for us to continue this ministry. Well, God is complaining in the last three verses of this chapter, and I use that word complaint because that is an accurate description of what's going on here, and yet I when I say it, I almost want to back up, and because it almost seems like God is being whiny, and that in itself would be a disrespectful attitude toward God, wouldn't it, to construe of anything that God says as being of a whiny nature. That's certainly not what I mean when I say He's complaining. He is lodging a serious complaint, an accurate complaint, and He's doing so for the benefit of these people so that they can see why their relationship with Him is not what it ought to be. And He lays it out in the last three verses of Malachi chapter 1, by telling them that their attitudes are wrong and their actions are wrong. Here's what He says. Verse 12, but you profane it. And He's talking about dishonoring His name. Back to verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you profane it. You profane the name of God. You wound it. You stab it. You don't give it the honor that it deserves. In that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord. Now this is really a continuation of what goes clear back to verse 6, where God said, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? This lack of honor. Wrong attitudes. The Gentiles will honor my name, but you profane it. And so we have wrong attitudes, and the attitudes could be described as critical, cynical, and disengaged. Critical attitudes, we talked about that on the broadcast Friday. The statement of verse 12, the table of the Lord is defiled. But you profane it, verse 12, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled. The table of the Lord is defiled, corrupt, unacceptable. Well, actually, it was. God said as much in the previous verses. In fact, he said, I'd rather have no sacrifices than to have these defiled sacrifices. Yes, the table of the Lord is defiled, but who defiled it? Not God. They did, by bringing these defective animals for sacrifice. So, yes, it is defiled. And, yes, you are the ones who are responsible for defiling it. And yet you are now acting as if somehow this is God's fault that the table of the Lord is defiled. What a critical attitude. Not only are their attitudes critical, but they are cynical. Because it goes on in verse 12 to say, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. Its fruit, its food. Now that, again, is referring to the sacrifices which are laid upon the altar. If the altar of sacrifice can be described as the table of the Lord, then to keep carrying that figure on to a further degree, then whatever goes on the table of the Lord is fruit or food. That's what you put upon a table. Now, we're talking about the altar, but it is referred to in more than one place in the book of Malachi as a table, the table of the Lord, just like we refer to the communion table as being the table of the Lord. And it speaks about the place where God comes and fellowships with men. In the Old Testament, it was around that altar where the sacrifices were made, which covered the sins of the people so that God could receive them into his presence and have fellowship with him. So they fellowshipped with God around the table, that is, around the altar of sacrifice. But they were complaining that the table of the Lord is defiled, and they were cynical in saying its fruit, its food, is contemptible. This fruit, this food, in other words, the animals that are sacrificed on it, are the prescribed means by which God's people worship him. And what they are saying is, this is contemptible, it is of no value. It is of no appeal. It accomplishes nothing. It does not interest us. What an attitude. Critical of the worship which God has prescribed. Cynical about the worship which God has prescribed. They don't like the way that God has prescribed worship. It is contemptible. It has no value as far as they were concerned. It has no appeal as far as they were concerned. It accomplishes nothing as far as they could see. It does not interest them. What's the problem? The problem isn't with God. The problem is with you, you who. The underlying problem is dissatisfaction with God's revelation. They're questioning God's word. They are not satisfied with the prescribed way of worship. They're complaining about it. They're critical of it. They're cynical towards it. And they somehow seem to think that if it's not acceptable to them, then it ought to be changed. Well, what gave you that idea? So they are critical, they are cynical, and they are, thirdly, disengaged. You also say, going on to verse 13, oh, what a weariness. See that? Verse 12, but you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, what a weariness. They consider God-prescribed worship wearisome, irksome. It's a burden. It's boring. It's a hardship to go through this. It's not a joyful delight for us. So they are going through the motions, but they are bored. It is meaningless. It is tedious to them. They're critical, cynical, and disengaged. They are going through the motions, but their mind is not engaged. They're going through the motions, but their heart is not engaged. That's the way that the people in Malachi's day felt toward God. When their forefathers, prior to the Babylonian captivity, felt this way, they incorporated elements of pagan worship to make it more exciting, more entertaining. They were bored with the worship which God had prescribed, and they looked at the religion of the nations around them, and that looked a whole lot more exciting, and so they incorporated some of those elements into their worship, and that was idolatry. And eventually, after a long period of long-suffering and patience, God said enough is enough, and he sent Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to chasten them and to carry them away into Babylonian captivity. And that Babylonian captivity broke them of their open idolatry, but it did not correct them in regard to their wayward hearts. Their hearts were still as disengaged as they were when they were borrowing idolatrous practices from their foreign neighbors, from the Gentiles around them. Okay, we get the message. We'll quit being involved in idolatry, but their attitudes haven't changed. They're still critical of the worship which God has prescribed. They're still cynical about the details that are involved in this worship, that they don't see any value in it. They are still disengaged. Their hearts and minds are not involved in the worship of God as He has prescribed it. They will not be satisfied until they can change the worship which God has prescribed and make it into something more of their liking. Yoo-hoo! Unless I'm badly mistaken, there's an awful lot of the same thing going on today in American Christianity. We don't like the worship that God has prescribed. It's boring. It doesn't engage us. So we will incorporate elements that entertain us, that excite us, that make us want to come to church. And God will be pleased with that because, after all, if we want to come to church, then God's glad that we've come, right? No. Better no worship than corrupted worship. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.